So I'm going to ask us to start out in a different way than usual. If you have your cell phone on you, could you take that out for me? And make sure it's turned on. I'm sure it's not accessible or turned on since you're in church, right? So turn it on and grab your phone. And if you don't have your phone with you, maybe look around and find somebody who is seated next to you who does. And maybe you want to scooch up next to them if that's a comfortable invitation for you. And then I want you to open up the camera mode and find that little icon that makes the camera flip so it's looking at you rather than at me. It kind of looks like two little arrows. Yep, and I see some of you already doing it. There you go. Primp the hair. Do whatever you gotta do. Reach your arm out wide. Squish up next to somebody else if need be. And then I just want you to click a picture of yourself. Grab a selfie. Group selfies are absolutely encouraged. How do we not have a picture of this? And then once you've got it, no deletes, no retakes, no... Just want you to take a moment and look. No commentary, not out loud at least. Just look. This past week, if you didn't hear it, actor Damian Lewis was interviewed on Fresh Air. And during that time, he shared how for an entire semester in acting class, month after month, he was instructed to stare at his face. And how it was the hardest thing he ever had to do. Look at that picture again. And I actually would like you to just keep looking at that picture just for another moment. I know that we notice the flaws and the inconsistencies. We notice the changes, the ways we don't match up to some standard of symmetry or commodification. Just look again. Did you know that it takes 120 million rod cells to help us see in black and white? 60 million to help us see in color. So look at your eyes. Consider the life that you have witnessed and learned with these eyes. And for those of us who cannot see, I know that we know other miracles. Miracles of the body that are not miraculous simply because they work, but because we live our lives within these frames, soft or blemished or crooked or whatever. There is a gorgeousness that our bodies are lived in, that they communicate for us and to us, that they wear pieces of our lives right on the surface, no matter how hard we try to deny it that work. Be strong, be gentle, keep looking. And then find something unexpected, something hidden beyond your declarations of right and wrong. Find something you can call beautiful. And quietly, to yourself or out loud if you wish to do so, I want you to call it that. I want you to name that. This whatever part of me is beautiful. There is, as my colleague Teresa Inez Soto reminds, a soft strength in accepting what others will judge. In this month of June, we continue in our exploration of beauty, of what that word means, what it carries with us, how we define it, how we consume it, how the Spirit speaks through it. I could beg you to discover the beauty in your own flesh, hand you the tools, take away all your distractions, but the truth is, it is there whether you see it or not. So you who cringe at this picture or snarl at some detail or judge what has proven worthy of praise, for you especially, I invite you to hear the old Psalm number 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Be it God or universe that created you, can you honor what came to be? Can you bow with humility and praise for its truth? Can you celebrate your place within the world of all things born and living, for that is a thing of beauty? Put away your phones. I invite you to breathe with me, because we're going to switch gears a little bit, but not too far. I want you to hear the words of poet Richard Blanco, who is the Cuban inaugural poet who will be the Unitarian Universalist Association's Ware lecturer at next week's General Assembly. And Holly and Jim, I hope you'll take some video while you're there. These are his words. It's entitled Queer Theory, According to My Grandmother. Never drink soda with a straw. Milkshakes? Maybe. Stop eyeing your mother's Avon catalog and the men's underwear in those Sears flyers. I've seen you. Stay out of her Tupperware parties and perfume bottles. Don't let her kiss you. She kisses you too much. Avoid hugging men, but if you must, pat them real hard on the back, even if it's your father. Must you keep that cat? Don't pet him so much. Why don't you like dogs? Never play house, even if you're the husband. Quit hanging with that Henry kid. He's too pale. And I don't care what you call them, those of his are dolls. Don't draw rainbows or flowers or sunsets. I've seen you. Don't draw at all, no coloring books either. Put away your crayons, your Play-Doh, your Legos. Where are your Hot Wheels, your laser gun and handcuffs, the knives I gave you? Never fly a kite or roller skate, but light all the firecrackers you want. Kill all the lizards you can. Cut up worms, feed them to that cat of yours. Don't sit Indian style with your legs crossed, you're no Indian. Stop click-clacking your sandals, you're no girl. For God's sake, never pee sitting down, I've seen you. Never take a bubble bath or wash your hair with shampoo. Shampoo is for women, so is conditioner, so is mousse, so is hand lotion. Never file your nails or blow dry your hair. Go to the barber shop with your grandfather, you're not unisex. Stay out of the kitchen. Men don't cook. They eat. Eat anything you want except deviled eggs, blow pops, croissants, bagels, maybe, cucumber sandwiches, petit fours. Don't watch Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie. Don't stare at the $6 million man. I've seen you. Never dance alone in your room. Donna Summer, Barry Manilow, The Captain and Tennille, Bette Midler, and all musicals forbidden. Posters of kittens, Star Wars, the Eiffel Tower, forbidden. Those fancy books on architecture and art, I threw them in the trash. You can't wear cologne or puka shells, and I better not catch you in clogs. If I see you in a ponytail, I'll cut it off. What? No, you can't pierce your ear. Left or right side, I don't care. You will not look like a goddamn queer. I've seen you. Even if you are one. I had planned to spend this morning inviting us into a conversation about beauty according to six different cultures. English, Hebrew, Sanskrit, Greek, Japanese, and Navajo, an object of longing, that which blooms, what is whole and holy, an idea, an ideal, humility and imperfection, health and harmony, each their own way of defining what is good and worthy and of beauty. But this month is the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, the uprising, the rebellion, when for three nights a collection of the least of these used their bodies as a source of power and strength rather than accepted the routine of dismissal, disgust, and harm. From the homeless teens who slept in the park next to the inn, to the sex workers, to the hedge fund employees. It was never a rally for civil marriage, but a riot against the expectation of civility in the face of police violence, and it was beautiful. Now, maybe you want to argue that what is beautiful is what those nights of rebellion, the shot glasses broken and fires set in defiance, bodies injured and anger loud, righteous and unfiltered. Maybe you would like to argue that what that rebellion made possible, something that looks more like me, is what is beautiful. But I would respond with a hard no to that retort. To places where you had to knock on a door and speak to someone through a peephole in order to get in. We were just out, one person was quoted as saying. We were in the streets. While walking home from the riots, beat poet Allen Ginsberg said, "You know, the guys were just so beautiful. They had lost that wounded look." Bodies were pulled from arresting officers and into the arms of those who claimed them. A whole people who lived a life of hiding and shame saw each other in the daylight, in public, in celebration, yes, but first in retaliation that their lives were worthy, were good, were beautiful. We, all of us, move through the world with surveillance at every turn. "I've seen you," threatens Blanco's grandmother. And that watchful, shaming, bullying eye grows out from the public into the personal, right to the intimate of our own hearts' voices, the more marginalized we are. The more queer, the more brown, black, the more disabled, the more our own expressions of beauty act as counterpoints to the world's expectations and demands. Just think for a second again how hard it is to look at a picture of yourself for a few minutes in the safety of a sanctuary. How hard it is for any one of us to believe me when I say, even if you can't see it, your worth and beauty is there. We have been worn down. It wears us down like sandpaper on soap, craving some corporate tag or bumper sticker over our bodies, pride parades out of the Stonewall riot, for goodness sake, giving over our beauty and all its manifestations to be commodified at best, but too often for too many of us dismissed, ignored, mocked, devoured, and abused. So yes, you better believe it was a thing of beauty, a sacred expression, some source incarnate when Christopher Street. Stonewall was started by a woman, a black woman, a trans woman of color who was bisexual and who advocated for the young sex workers for whom she made a safe home. Her name was Marsha Payette No Mind Johnson. And today we say her name. It's only been 3 years since the Pulse massacre. And since the start of June, Pride Month, two trans women of color were murdered in Texas alone. Another died in custody at the border. When we light our candle each week for the welcome and inclusion of the LGBTQ family, I know we do so with pride, but we must also light this candle in defiance. That candle is born out of the gorgeous, powerful and protesting beauty that is the intersection of being more, more queer, brown, black, disabled, more poor, refugee, more dismissed for being thought of as worthless, but has instead declared beauty, that has instead declared pride. So start in the mirror. Start with the selfie. And then block out your calendar with all the holy work there is to do. Because we must build and be that soft strength, that righteous cry accepting what others judge. Indeed, may it be a happy pride, whoever you are, whatever you might fight to celebrate within you. May it be a safe pride. And may we live a life that would make the ancestors proud. I've seen you. I see you. Amen.